Welcome back to a StoryCorps Athens Childhood Special. Our next conversation comes from Martha Garfield and her daughter Michelle Cook. Martha and Michelle met to talk about their family history and the legacy of Martha's great-uncle Ben, who helped to provide for his siblings and ensure prosperity for the family's future generations.
When you were growing up, what was the primary way in which people made a living in this area?
The primary living for the masses of the people were farming. They were farmers. They were cotton farmers.
I know this is definitely during Jim Crow, during segregation. How was that felt in this area? I know the schools were separate, definitely. But in terms of making a living, was everybody farming?
Yes, just about everybody I knew were farmers one way or the other. You had cattle farmers, and basically you had mostly cotton farmers.
And, you know, one of the things that particularly that was big in Black history is that it's sharecropping, that many Blacks in the South coming out of slavery, coming out into the 20th century, did not own their land. What about the Black people that you knew?
Most of the Black people that I knew around Echols Mill and that area, what they called Point Peter, Georgia at the time, owned their own land.
Okay. In your area, with the people that you all were in contact with, there weren't a lot of sharecroppers?
No. Okay. As a matter of fact, I don't remember any sharecroppers.
Interesting.
Small farms, but each person owned his own.
From your personal experience being raised in Oglethorpe County, what was the racial climate like for you from when you can remember?
We realized that in some areas that Blacks and whites didn't get along that well together. But those people in Oglethorpe County, as far back as I can remember, would, you know, they just chatted and talked with one another. Maybe not everybody, but I remember the man who lived across the road from us and his family were a white family. Okay. And he would come over to our house at night and sit and tell Dad how that went when they bombed Pearl Harbor.
Oh, he was there. He was at Pearl Harbor.
Absolutely.
He was a white man. He was enlisted. He was at Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come and tell your dad.
My dad.
Grandpa.
Yeah. They got along well, one with another. Never had any arguments or fights or disagreements or anything like that.
And what about the children? Did they play together?
We got along well. And that family was, and I think two of the daughters, Shirley and Betty, went to the University of Georgia.
Oh, two of the white young ladies across the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I used to tell my dad, when I grow up, I'm going to the University of Georgia.
What did
because
he say to
Shelley,
Shirley and Betty.
Betty went to the University of Georgia. And those are just people that I looked up to because they were really nice to you. And so I remember my dad telling me one time, I said, and so when I grow up, I said, I'm going to the University of Georgia too.
What did he say?
My daddy said, girl, that's fool talk.
That's fool talk because University of Georgia was segregated.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, all of the schools were segregated. And so I'd look back on it sometimes when I look at my nieces and nephews who did finish the University of Georgia. I said, back in the days when I was about 6 or 7 years old, it was foolish talk.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened.
It happened, yeah.
In my lifetime and not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just remember a whole, you know, there's a whole lot. And everybody that I can remember, we only had a few maybe one family in that whole general area of Oglethorpe County where we live that, you know, that they were not very friendly.
Right.
Otherwise, everybody got along one with another, helped one another with whatever they needed, and saw that everybody had enough of everything to live by.
So it was a real community.
It was a community, even though it was Black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Black churches, Black schools, white schools. But the people themselves got along well.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting place in terms of thinking about Oglethorpe County and, you know, what was there. But particularly for our family, having someone like an Uncle Ben who was able to, in some ways, kind of envision a different future, even though he didn't have any children of his own. He had these nieces and these nephews, these sisters with these children that he wanted to make sure. And it sounds like he worked really hard because he sent all this money back to buy this land. So they weren't sharecroppers, but he did this work so that future generations would have this opportunity.
Viviana Beatrice Garrett-Gama is still navigating childhood as a middle schooler. so she joined her mom, Ashley Garrett, in the StoryCorps mobile booth to talk about what her life is like now and what she hopes her legacy will be long after she's gone.
So the thing I was thinking about this morning is, what is your earliest memory? Like, what's the first thing that you remember really clearly?
I have a terrible memory.
Do you remember the first day of third grade? First day you went to Alps? Do you remember going to Brazil?
That was 2 years old.
I know. My first memory was the day right before kindergarten started. So I was 4 and a half. And I vividly remember my mom had bought me this red dress with little white giraffes all over it. And it was the 70s, so it had a big wide white collar and white buttons and a little white belt. And she ironed it and she laid it out on the back of the sofa and was like, okay, tomorrow is when school starts. And I was so excited because I thought, this is it. You know, this is when my life begins. And I just vividly remember that.
My earliest memory is brushing my teeth this morning.
Oh, come on.
It's vivid. It's early.
Well, it's vivid, yeah. Do you remember any of your birthday parties?
Last year.
When you turned 11?
Yeah.
I'm just really surprised you don't actually remember any of this stuff.
I remember I got new shoes.
Yeah, you did.
And they looked really old, and I thought that they were like Madonna's or something. Because I didn't know who Madonna was, but I knew she was famous. And they had the little sparkles on them. I was like, they must be Madonna's shoes.
Super fancy. What do you think is going to change as you get older?
I'm going to get a bigger butt.
You think?
I will get longer hair. I will get taller. I'm going to get perfect model teeth.
Why?
Because I'm going to get braces.
Well, yeah. You're kind of destined for that.
I'm going to get purple braces.
See, back in my day, we all got silver braces, and that was the way it was. What do you think about school? Do you like school?
I did not like elementary school. It was awful. It was the worst experience of my life. In fifth grade, at least. Yeah. I love middle school. It's like just the first 2 months of like 3 months of this have been great. I love it. It's amazing. I have all these new friends that I never knew before. I'm learning French reluctantly.
You big goober.
Yeah.
I was thinking this morning about, I started to like Hamilton because of you. Like, I had heard of it and I knew it was popular and famous and winning awards and all that, but you came home from fifth grade and y'all were all crazy about Hamilton. I don't know who started it. I was thinking about the last song about who lives, who dies, who tells your story. So when you die, who do you want to tell your story? And what do you want them to say about you?
So mainly I want William Shakespeare and
He's already gone.
The best poet writers of the century, Ariana Grande. And then I would prefer that this is rooted 100 years after my death and I'm already a famous comic writer, artist, slash whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, the best thing that ever happened. And then I want William Shakespeare to come back alive and tell my story.
What do you want him to say about you?
I want him to say that I was the most crazy cat lady of the century.
Yeah.
I was the best artist ever, and that I could read and I could write, and I was a great author. That's mainly what I want everyone to know.
Okay, so we can not have to send you to self-esteem camp. That's good to know.
When three generations of women from the same family get together, there are a lot of stories that they can share. That's just what Wanda Barlow, her granddaughter Caitlin Downs, and her great-granddaughter Kennedy Downs came to do in the fall of 2018. In this conversation, Kennedy takes the lead in asking her great-grandmother about growing up.
When and where were you born?
I was born February the 6th, 1935, at Tacoma Hospital in Greenville, Tennessee. But I actually lived on a farm out in the country in Greene County.
Did you grow up there?
I started living there and grew up within 30 miles of where I lived when I was born, but I lived in lots of different places. We moved to Hawkins County, Tennessee, in a house that my mother and daddy bought. This was back in the country where we had no electricity, no indoor plumbing, of course, no phones. And we got our water from a spring that was for both of those houses.
What was it like growing up?
It was a different culture from what we live in now. but that everybody was about equal. We were very poor. We did not even have a car to drive. We walked most places we went. My family grew the food that we ate, and we walked to church. We walked to school. When I started to school when I was 5 years old, either my parents thought I was smarter or they wanted to get me out of the house because I was the last one, and I kind of suspect it's the second part.
Did you always live near your family when you moved?
We grew up in a great big family, and one of the most interesting things about that is that at my grandparents' house, they had this pretty good-sized dining room, and the table was built in, and there was just room for Grandpa to sit at one end and Grandma to sit at the other end, and there was benches on the side for all the children, and there usually was more than just the family there also.
And didn't you have to take the table apart to get it out?
When family finally decreased, they had to tear the table up to get it out of the house.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I was either interested in doing something in math or I wanted to go to nursing school. And math was more of a college, needed more of a college education. And my parents did not have the resources to send me to college. And so I went to nursing school, which was a good thing to do because it turned out that I liked that very much.
What was it like being a nurse after you graduated?
I worked at a few different things. My first job, which I was real interested in, was I did psychiatric nursing, and I liked that a lot. But after a while, it's when I met my husband, and we got married and moved to Georgia, and I was pregnant with your mother and your grandma, and then early on, I wound up working in an operating room, and I found that was my place that I enjoyed the most, and I really liked working in the operating room.
Is there anything else you want to tell us?
I think maybe I didn't stress enough how happy I am with my family.
I have found that my family is much more family-centric than a lot of other families of friends that I know. You know, we get together and have dinners all the time, and we don't quite have the whole dining room filled up with a table, but we get pretty full.
And we also get pretty loud, don't we?
We do.
But that's what makes it fun.
In our next conversation, sisters Jamie Jedlicka and Beth Thornton talk about memories from their childhood as well. But the memories they share are especially important because a childhood accident threatened to ruin Jamie's memory forever.
I remember the night you were born. I remember Grandma and Aunt Rose were at the house, and I woke up in the night and I went to Mom and Dad's room and they were gone. So I knew that I was going to have a baby sister. And then we would go to the hospital and we would write "Baby Jedlicka" on a piece of paper and we would hold it up to the nursery window, and then they would come bring you and show you to us. So I want to know what your earliest memory of me is.
I mean, we're 9 years age difference, so I mean, it was a big deal when we were little. I remember horse stuff. I remember bringing out your horse shows. I don't remember your presence, but I know you were there because I wouldn't be at a horse show if you weren't there. The actual first memory I have is we were at a horse show, and I was with Mom, and you were all dressed up in your Western wear, and you said, "Mom, look, there's Star," because I guess you already had Spike, and that was my first memory of you.
What was it like being so much younger than me?
I don't remember you being around that much. Alan was very, very mean.
He was mean to me, too.
And you guys were always fighting. It was life. It just was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you were always left babysitting me.
But that wasn't bad. Was there a time that you didn't like me?
I mean, I didn't like you when you were spraying me over the horse with a hose. otherwise, no. You were my big sister.
Now, I want to ask about you. Do you remember anything about your brain bleed?
I remember I was on a trip with my school in the mountains, and I had a really bad headache, and I started throwing up, and I mean, that was it. A month later, I woke up.
Did you have headaches before this?
Maybe. I think mom said, I don't know. When we were growing up, I was a liar. I made things up. I don't know if I really had a headache or if I said I had a headache. Mom said that I said I had headaches. But I mean, it's it. I had a headache and I was out for a month.
The next thing you knew, you woke up in the hospital.
Yeah.
Wow. I really wasn't there for that.
You were in Paris.
Yeah, I left. I wish I hadn't gone because I knew that you got sick, and then I didn't hear from mom and dad for like a month.
Really?
And so, yeah, it was. Do you remember what it was like after you woke up?
I mean, I had to learn. I had lost all my muscle mass. So, I mean, I had to learn how to walk again, and I couldn't write, and I couldn't remember what had happened. My short-term memory was shot. I didn't have it. I couldn't, by lunchtime, I couldn't remember what I had eaten for breakfast.
Did you remember your family? Like, did you remember
yeah.
who you were and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know I didn't have any hair. I was really shocked when I looked in the mirror for the first time.
You started to write me letters then.
Was it after that?
Yeah, because I was still in Paris, and I remember getting letters from you. You must have felt frustrated.
It really was no, I don't know. It just was.
So you did. And you didn't think, why me or anything like that? You were so young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was 11. And let me tell you, I got a lot of attention after that.
I know. I wouldn't have minded. My position in the family, being the oldest, I didn't get a lot of, I still don't get a lot of attention. Yeah, I think I would love to get that kind of attention. That's probably a really insensitive thing for me to say, though.
I don't think so. Would you like me to be different in any way, like a better sister?
No.
Okay, because I do get angry sometimes.
But so do I.
Okay.
I mean, I think it'd be weird if we didn't get mad. Okay. I mean, I'm afraid I can never start being on time. I think that's one of
the drives me crazy.
Biggest pet peeve. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I'm always early. You're always late. We equal out.
Yeah. No, because you've never really hurt my feelings. I mean, I think we've annoyed each other, but I you know?
Yeah.
I think we have a good relationship.
Yeah.
Faye Owens and her husband Douglas bring our childhood special to a close. Faye was raised primarily by her grandparents, and in this conversation, she tells her husband all about the mischief she and her grandparents created together. Here's Faye and Douglas.
What were some of your fond memories?
I have memories of my Papa Robinson standing at the road on a cold day to await the sighting of the school bus. Top the hill about a half mile away. I watched from the warmth of the long entrance hall, and when he saw the school bus, he would alert me and motion with his hand that the school bus was approaching. One of my favorite outings with Papa was our occasional visits to the livestock sales pen. We would go there just for the free entertainment of hearing the scat of the auctioneer and the interaction between the auctioneer and the bidders. Attendants were always in the pen to prod the sometimes lethargic beasts so that potential buyers could have a good look at the animals from all angles. A frequent highlight was when an agitated bull would bolt into the ring, snorting bubbles from his mouth and his nose, and paw the sawdust, slinging whatever accompanied the pen's floor covering onto the spectators. As the bull bounded, rip-snorting out of the gate and into the sales pen, it would send the attendants scrambling up the safety of the iron fence between the spectators and the now raging bull.
Did your Papa Robinson ever buy or sell any livestock at the auction?
One day, as Papa and I dropped in impromptu to enjoy a hot dog and watch the auction, a cow and her young calf entered the pen. All was just status quo until the auctioneer announced, "The cow only is sold to the gentleman in the green shirt." This piqued my interest, and I watched anxiously as the cow was led away, lowing as she looked back at her bleeding calf remaining in the sales pen. And Papa looked into my tearing eyes as I questioned him why the buyer didn't buy the calf. So as the bidding for the now orphaned calf slowed to the warning call of the auctioneer, going once, going twice, at this moment of decision, Papa stood to get the attention of the auctioneer, and he shouted the magic dollar amount that, to the shock of both of us, had bought us a calf. When we arrived home to inform my mamma of the new addition to our small family of livestock, she was surprised, well, we all were, but as always, she made room in her heart and in the barn for yet another orphan. My grandparents enjoyed life. Both of them loved a little occasional and oft self-generated mischief. A typical Saturday was spent in preparation for Sunday, getting our church clothes ready and cleaning the house and yards, preparing for Sunday's dinner that involved butchering a chicken. I was fascinated as I watched Papa break the chicken's necks, and I convinced Papa that I was ready to literally try my hand at wringing the neck. So reaching into the coop, where Mama kept the chickens destined for the dinner menu, Papa pulled out my first experiment. And I realized that my grip was not as powerful as his when that supposed to be dead Rhode Island Red hopped up immediately and shook it off and joined the other look-alike chickens in the chicken yard. Papa urged me to go catch that escapee and try again. I replied that I would surely be in trouble with Mamma because I did not know which chicken had been grain-fed while awaiting his doomsday. And Papa's eyes twinkled as he left and said, "Just go catch one. She won't know the difference." And Papa winked and smiled as we and our guest on Sunday enjoyed that delicious southern fried chicken on the dinner table.
Do you have any stories about your Mama's mischief?
Oh, yes. The day that she and I were cooking in the freshly painted kitchen, a chore that Papa had finally gotten checked off his honey-do list. Distracted by our other meal preparation, we left a pan of hot grease unattended until we saw flames leaping from the pan and above the stovetop onto the newly painted wall. Thankfully, the only damage was a scorched mustard-yellow wall. Before Papa arrived home from the Atmore prison farm, where he worked as a kitchen cook supervisor, my creative Mamo and I had found a partially used can of paint. We added some yellow food coloring until it was amazingly close to the right shade. We meticulously painted the scorched area, and we cleaned up all the evidence. It was Mamo who giggled and winked at supper that night. But you know, I think Papa knew, because that wall really never looked quite right. I do think, however, that whenever he was suspicious about the wall, he remembered the conspiracy behind that delicious chicken dinner that had adorned our Sunday dining table.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of StoryCorps Athens. We hope you enjoyed these conversations about childhood memories. StoryCorps Athens stories were recorded locally at the StoryCorps mobile booth at the Athens-Clark County Library in the fall of 2018. StoryCorps is part of a national initiative to record and preserve the stories of everyday people. All of these interviews were produced locally by Morgan Fry. For WUGA, I'm Kathy Bradbury.